Welcome to the Online Success Journey Podcast, your opportunity to discover and learn from entrepreneurs like yourself. This is not your typical podcast, but a place where you can get the real story and find out how real people encounter speed bumps and detours, but journey through to find success. Now here's your host for the Online Success Journey Podcast, Patience.
Hello everyone and welcome to Online Success Journey. This is episode 236. Are you ready to join the clan? Today we have Jason Waza, a speaker, a coach, a podcaster, and a licensed marriage and family therapist. His mission is to help family businesses and young professionals who are looking to minimize their stress and maximize their potential with simplicity and clarity. Hello, Jason.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. I know the clan is anxious to hear your story, so let's get started with the basics. Can you tell my clan a little bit about your background, about what you did before you started your own business?
Absolutely. So before I became a licensed therapist, I was heavily involved in programming for young professionals, for high school, middle school, and college age students through different nonprofit organizations connected to the Jewish community. So whether that was affiliated to a specific synagogue or a specific youth group organization, or for a year I worked at Princeton University running the student life programming for the Jewish Student Union, I was heavily involved in working with activities for those type of population, whether it's social or recreational or spiritual based activities, as an advisor, as a program creator, as a mentor, as a friend, to be there at all these different levels to help them. And I started to realize that with the relationships I was creating, the students started coming to me for more significant challenges in their life. And I realized that they were seeing me in a way kind of as a therapist, but yet at that point I wasn't a therapist. I didn't even think about going to school for therapy, but I was really passionate about helping them figure out what was going on for them so they can lead more of a meaningful and healthy life. And for me growing up, even though I have a really wonderful family overall, there was a lot of conflict. My parents got divorced. I was a scholarship student, and there was a lot of things that I had to struggle for compared to other kids my age who got things just naturally handed to them. So for me, life hasn't always been that easy. I wasn't the world's greatest student. I joke that I worked at a university that would never have accepted me as a student in the first place. So it was kind of like a laugh in the face of the universe when I started working at Princeton, when, you know, they would have just like laughed when they looked at my application if I ever applied there for college. So I realized that part of this is to find the underdog, you know, the person who has had life struggles really get in their way, and to help them figure out a way to streamline and create a path of purpose and potential while finding meaningful relationships as they go on in life. And eventually that led me to becoming a therapist. And I came back to South Florida, where I grew up in Miami, Fort Lauderdale area. Went to a graduate program in marriage and family therapy. And then as I was doing that, I started getting really into integrative and natural approaches, not knowing that as a therapist, I can do that. And was getting treated by these alternative medicine practitioners and really fell in love with it and became more and more interested in reading about it and learning about it, until one day I went through a major life crisis and I was at a workshop and they were really teaching us how to do this. And a practitioner of a specific modality called neuroemotional technique came in, host this workshop at the University of Miami Integrative Medicine Department. And I'm like, oh, that was really interesting. They got rid of this person's panic attacks in a very short period of time. And didn't really think about it for me, because at that time I was going through panic attacks from this conflict in my life. And this is around 2009, 2010. And a little bit later, I got connected with a practitioner who was a neuroemotional technique practitioner and decided to go to them. And within 2 to 3 sessions, my panic attacks went away. So a month later, I found the next program that they were teaching this workshop. It happened to be in Orlando, 3 hours away from me. And that was it. I fell in love with this modality, and since then I've become their top certified. They have 3 levels of certification. I hold their top level of certification, and I'm 1 of 5 or 6 mental health practitioners in the world who hold that top level of certification for NET.
Wow.
Ooh, yeah.
What a journey, Jason. Wow. But at least now you are better.
Now I'm definitely better, and I'm helping work with people who are coming through panic attacks and trauma and anxiety and stress, emotional allergies. is what I call that. And right, where things that we don't realize are triggering us or bothering us and holding us back from what we can do and are putting us into a fight or flight scenario. And a few years later, that practitioner who was doing the demonstration of neuroemotional technique at that alternative medicine workshop is the same person who invited me to come to a business program called Business Finishing School out of Dallas, Texas. And he's like, you should come. This is an entrepreneurship program, and I really think you would benefit from it. And I'm like, listen, man, I'm a therapist. I ran away from my family furniture business. We have a third generation family furniture business called Wasser's Furniture. They're working with people all around the world with projects. And I ran away from that. And I'm like, nope, this is my destiny to be a therapist, to be a healer, not a business person, not an entrepreneur. And after a weekend doing this program, I realized that I actually truly am an entrepreneur, not just a therapist and a healer, because the person Rick Sapio, who created the program, defined entrepreneurship as anybody who defines their core values and then chooses to be held accountable to them. And that's when I knew that I was an entrepreneur, because I created my core values and I have who I want to see, what type of modalities I want to use, how I want to help people, how I want to help them avoid medication if they, you know, can use nutrition and therapy and exercise to do that instead of having to rely on medication or prescription drugs, what type of food I want to eat, who I want to hang out with. And I'm like, oh, I'm already doing this. And because of that, I became a certified coach in their program. And then I started positioning myself as the therapist for entrepreneurs, their businesses, and their families.
You've been around. Don't you ever find doing this marriage counseling and then the practice bit, the other side, isn't it draining? How do you cope with this?
Well, that's an amazing question, because for a lot of people, we talk about burnout in their careers, and it doesn't matter what field you're in. At some point, you're going to have some level of burnout. And when you're working for someone else, right, when you're an employee or what I like to call an intrapreneur, you're helping someone else grow their business. And at the end of the day, you don't have to wash the floor or pay the bills. You're an intrapreneur. Then, right, you may not have full power to decide how you want to engage with the employees and the staff around you. You're going to have stop gaps. You're going to have people over you that might make it a little bit more difficult. You might have people under you that might make it more difficult. You yourself might be making it more difficult for yourself. But at the end of the day, you don't have complete control to change a scenario unless you become a leader and you really evolve at that level. When you're working in a business such as myself, where I'm the owner, the creator, I take out the trash at the end of the day, right? Everything is do or die by my own terms. There's a lot more responsibility on my shoulders. So back in the day, yes, I had a lot more fatigue and a lot more burnout, because I wasn't crystal clear on who I was servicing and who my ideal client was. It was more, I need to have a certain amount of income to be able to live, and therefore I would let people come into the office who should not have been clients. That drove me nuts and drained my energy. Now, in 2020, after being very clear about my doorman principle, right, who gets into my building and who doesn't, who gets on my couches and who doesn't, that doorman principle, I'm very crystal clear on which clients I accept and who I apologetically say, I'm really sorry, I'm not going to be the right fit for you as a therapist, and refer them out. And that made a tremendous difference.
Was it difficult for you to translate from just being a therapist to coming into the entrepreneur? How did you find the journey? Was it easy?
So every journey, if you're believing in what you're doing, is going to be more fun than if you don't believe in what you're doing. And if it was that easy, I don't know how worth it would be, right? We have this belief that like hard work has to be painful versus hard work can be uplifting and nourishing. And yes, I'm tired sometimes. And yes, I get disappointed or sad or frustrated or upset when I'm seeing a client and hearing what they're going through. It definitely does affect me. But I know at the end of the day, they're responsible to be accountable for their own life. And my job is to help them take ownership and move from a place of victimhood to a place of empowerment. And if I can do that and that alone, then that makes A, my job easier, but B, it also puts the responsibility. I'm not responsible for them. I'm not responsible for their outcomes. And a lot of times we take that ownership on when it's really not ours. So I've worked very hard to shift that mindset and say, what would you like to do about this? How would you like it to be better? What are the attempts you've made that haven't been working, so we can see what your mindset is and where you're trying to solve a problem from? And that actually might be the problem you have, is that you think you'll solve a problem by believing this way about it. But if we think about it differently, you'll have a whole new framework in which to be more successful.
Thank you for sharing. Right. You ran away from your family business. Why do you do what you do?
So as time has evolved and my expertise as someone who has been working with entrepreneurs and business professionals, I've actually started to have more and more influence on my family business. And what's so amazing is I'm the oldest of the three. And right by, as they say, by entitlement of age bracket, it's, you know, I had first right of refusal, and my brother and sister after college came in to take the next step of initiative for my father. But I'm finding that more and more, the more I'm doing with my clients, the more influence I'm actually having on my family, and the more they actually want to use me in a very specific way to help them grow without having to be, so to speak, an employee in the business. So right now, every Friday morning, I meet with my siblings at the store, and we go through staffing concerns, and we go through development concerns and marketing possibilities and brainstorming and to make things more efficient for them. So I'm not employed by them, but I'm, in a way, I joke to them that I'm their unofficial VP of development, because I'm helping them strategically grow and develop the business from an outsider, that I don't need to be there full time to help a business grow. And that's what I tell my clients. You don't need to necessarily hire someone full time, because you want to, if you have a specific goal, you need to find the person who's going to be the best person to help you get to that goal. So for strategy and brainstorming and macro thinking, I'm incredible at. Don't ask me to do those tasks for you. That's not what my skill set is. I'll help you hire the right person to do that. And I think that's something that's missed in the business world, is that people think that they should be doing everything. And if you're not really good at it, you have to hire or leverage that out and bring someone in under you, or hire on Upwork or Fiverr or whatever it is, to get someone to do that for you and spend your time and energy on a higher quality, higher value activity.
What mistakes have you seen health and well-being practitioners are they making?
So the world health, well, right now, I don't know if you're, you know, with what's going on this past week in Los Angeles, California, there was a devastating loss in the athletic community with Kobe Bryant and the eight other individuals in this plane crash, in this helicopter crash. And right, when we talk about like health from the world's perspective, it's been so interesting to hear how many people are grieving over a person that they might have even not liked as a professional athlete, because he was not on their team. But right, the devastating loss and grieving that people are having over the loss of potential for the children that were lost and the young adults that were lost is a big deal. And I think, like, for professionals, the mindset where this world is throwing a lot more challenges at us. We have social media, which is in many ways an incredible blessing. That's how you and I connected. And I have the honor of spending some time with you and your listeners here, right? And you're in the UK, right? And I'm here, yes, in South Florida in America. So we're separated by a couple thousand miles in a big ocean. So we would have never met if it wasn't for social media. And on the other side of the coin, we have the headaches of social media, where it's all consuming and you have to put on a pretty shiny, happy face, even in business. Right? And pretend, or sometimes show that your business is doing okay more than it is. And I'm a big fan of teaching people how to ask for help without it being an embarrassment. And if people can start asking for help more in a specific area, and who has the resource for this, who has a contact for that, I think like this global mental health, what's going on in the world, will be a lot better, because we can use our networks, we can use social media as a community instead of just a showing off place.
You have mentioned the word mental health, because this topic is really, it's a hard one. Because if you say you have mental health, everyone seems to be like, you're outcast. No one wants to talk to you. So it's like, no, I better stay under. I don't want to mention it. So how do you think, from now on, we are in 2020, how do you think that people should really approach this topic?
So let's be very clear about what mental health means, because we can divide it into two different categories. Yes. We can say our mental health. How is our mental health doing? How is my mental health doing on a very macro paradigm? And what I mean by that is like your generic psychology, well-being mindset, right? And we can call that your mental health. The other side of the coin is more of the diagnosis base. Unhealthy based, pathology based, no, you have a mental health issue, which is a very different approach and philosophy than what I have about how I see the world. That even though you might be struggling with a specific condition that could be biochemical or genetic or trauma based, it doesn't define who you are. And I want people to be out there that very clearly to understand and hear me correctly, that for every single thing that's going on in this world, there is an incredible resource out there for you to get the help. And I joke with my clients that back in the day, it was that if you had a therapist, there's something wrong with you. And now in 2019, 2020, I joke, if you don't have a therapist, there's something wrong with you. So can we all like try to get to adopt that mentality of everybody benefits from talking to someone else who is a non-biased expert about well-being, about mindset, about patterns, right? For me, I'm really a pattern interrupter. That's what I do as a therapist. I help you break your patterns of belief that are getting you stuck. I help you break the patterns of your language, of how you describe something that is getting you stuck. I help break the patterns of interaction with people in your life that you care about or that shouldn't be in your life, so you no longer get stuck. So, you know, that can contribute to anxiety and stress and sadness and what we would call, right, a diagnosis of anxiety or depression. But, you know, we're not walking around with every emotion, right? If you're feeling angry, you're not walking around, oh, I am anger. Or if you're sad, you're not walking around, hi, my name is Jason, I'm sad, right? It's experiences that we go through, and in those moments, we're feeling those emotions. And like when people come to me like, oh, Jason, I just want to be happy. I'm like, but happy is no different of an emotion than sad or frustrated or annoyed or excited or tired, right? So you're not walking around saying, hi, I'm Jason, I'm happy, right? It's an emotion that comes from an experience. And everybody's aiming for this ultimate happiness. I just want to be happy. Yes. I just want to be happy, right? So I would challenge everybody who's listening that if you do this for yourself, I guarantee you, you will thank me one day. And if you get rid of the word, the phrase or the idea that I'm trying to be happy, all I want is to be happy, and substitute that for I can be content. I can be content with this. I'm looking, is this good enough? Is this, am I content with it? That's very different than being an emotion, right? Content is a process of, right? It's good enough. I've done enough. I've arrived enough. I've achieved enough. I'm content in this moment. You can be happy because of that, but the emotion is connected to the experience. Don't confuse a definition of an experience with an emotion. And so if you out there can listen to that, don't stop aiming for happiness and aim for contentment.
Now you lost me, Jason. When you say I should be contented, I'm feeling that, oh, yeah, this job I'm doing, yeah, Jason said I should be contented. So to me, content means I'm now trying to settle for less. I want to go high.
Great. So you're hitting on exactly what I was just mentioning, where I challenge people's beliefs about what that word means to them. So content doesn't mean I'm settling. Content means that I have accomplished a specific thing and it has been meaningful and purposeful. And because of it's been meaningful and purposeful, it has led me to an experience of happiness connected to that. It doesn't mean that you should stop there and not want to potentially achieve more, but it's that you can pause, you can identify it, you can look at that experience and you can say, wow, look what I accomplished. That was meaningful. That was a nice connection. That was purposeful. That was aligned with my core values. That brought me and somebody else value. I'm content with that, right? I'm really embracing it. I'm really appreciating it. You have gratitude for that. From there, you can take the next step and move on to your journey of the next bigger goal. But a lot of times, for example, I had a coaching call with someone this morning and they're asking me all these things and I can tell that their life is in a lot of chaos. They have way too many goals that they're trying to juggle at the same time. And then they're like, oh, but Jason, tell me about your podcast. Tell me how I start doing that. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to tell you. He's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, that should absolutely completely be nowhere on your radar right now. Because if you can't manage all the other stuff you're doing, you're going to now add more chaos because it sounds sexy to be a podcast host. So as your coach, I love you. I am forbidding you in a playful way from even thinking about adding a podcast and creating a podcast to your schedule until you start cleaning up all the other stuff that is higher priority for you and then be content with that. And once you're content with that and that's going well, then we can talk about the podcast. Does that make sense?
Yes, I am content now. You have won me now. Yes, thank you for clarifying. Yes, I'm contented. Anyway, why did you become a podcaster?
So that's a really – so now throwing that back on me, why did I do it? So one of my marketing plans has become over the last couple of years when I have my clients saying to me, God, you know, it'd be really funny if you like had a radio show or a TV show. And I never thought about that for me. Like, you know, I'm not the Dr. Phil or the Ellen or the Oprah. In fact, I was actually petrified of public speaking when I was a child. And one of the things that I've learned is over the years, I've spoken to larger and larger crowds. I've been invited as a guest speaker to different workshops and different retreats and different conferences. In fact, next month I'll be speaking to somewhere between 50 to 100 people at a workshop here in South Florida. You know, my largest crowd that I've spoken to has been about 2,000 to 3,000 people. My smallest crowd has been one client in my office. So a lot of times I'm hearing that, like, this message needs to be shared more. And, you know, when I'm working with a client, it's 1-to-1, or if it's a couple, it's 2-to-1. If it's a family, it's 3, 4, 5-to-1. But I know that messages that I'm sharing and the guidance that I'm offering is universal. So I needed to figure out a way of a platform of me being the one going from one to a few, from one to many. Because I know if it's helping my clients over the last God knows how many years since I graduated was 2005, and I see over 1,000 client sessions a year, I can't figure out – I can't find more time in my day. So I just have to figure out a way to reach more people in the time that I have. And a podcast is an incredible medium for me to do that. And it's also an incredible medium for me to bring the people that have been influential into my life and what I've loved about learning from them to also get them to share the same information with other people out there. So I've been leveraging my entrepreneur circles from this program, Business Finishing School, the people I've met through there, and then the people I've met from those people that have connected me with those people. In fact, it's allowed me to be so bold that I cold emailed, right? I just out of the blue emailed the former international president of Starbucks, Howard Bihar, who just retired recently, wrote an incredible book that I recommend to everybody called It's Not About the Coffee. And I said, hey, my name is Jason. I live in South Florida. I have this awesome podcast. It started this past summer. I would be incredibly honored if you would be a guest on my podcast, because everything you teach is everything I would love to share with my young professionals and entrepreneurs that I'm targeting. 15 minutes later, I got a response back saying yes. And this is the person who's responsible for bringing Starbucks out of North America into the UK, into China, into the, you know, the UAE. And if you've ever had a Frappuccino, this is also the man you should thank for bringing that to market. And he was on my podcast a few weeks ago. Now, I would never have thought about that. Now I'm like, well, who else can I get now? Who's the big name, right, for this guy Jason in South Florida that no one knows of that has the audacity to make a request of someone to say, hey, here's who I'm already getting. Would you like to also be on the show? So now I can leverage bigger names and say they were on my show. Would you like to be? As opposed to I'm this therapist in South Florida that only sees people locally, right? So my mindset has changed drastically because of that. And here's step two or part two. When people look me up, you're going to find page after page after page of social media. So it's not like there's only one or two or three things about me. You're going to find every podcast episode. You're going to find every single Instagram post that I have. You're going to find every time that I've been a guest on someone else's podcast. So when they're like, wow, I need to decide between therapist A or Jason, they're probably going to pick me because they're going to see that I actually know what I'm talking about if other people are wanting to take my knowledge and share it with their community.
Wow. That is powerful. Thank you. Let's dive into business now. Let's put him on aside. How do you know you are successful?
So every person has to define their own success. And we have that old phrase of keeping up with the Joneses, right? What's your neighbors doing? What are they driving? What are they wearing? What are they sending their kids to school? Whatever, all that stuff. Every person has to be responsible for determining their own success based on their heart and their soul and what's meaningful to them. And, you know, I gave a class last night to young professionals on leadership, and I shared with them that Van Gogh only sold one painting in his lifetime while he was alive. So would we consider today, hundreds of years later, would we consider Van Gogh a success? And you and I would say what?
One painting.
One painting. Van Gogh, Vincent Van Gogh, one of the most famous artists ever, right? If you did not know them, would you say, hey, Jason, Vincent Van Gogh was a success, right? You would say that.
Yes.
But now I told you, but he only sold one painting in his lifetime. Now, what would you say?
He's not successful.
Exactly.
but according to me, he's not successful. But I don't know what he wanted at that time.
Exactly. So I don't know the whole story of Van Gogh. I don't know if he died penniless. I don't know if he had sponsors, which was a very common thing, right? That's where the patron of the arts came from, where you would actually back in the day sponsor specific artists and their lifestyle, and they would make works of art for your house. You wouldn't necessarily pay for that art, but you were paying for their lifestyle. So, you know, maybe that was happening and he was creating works of art for his patrons. But for his own, from what I understand, his own personal sales, he only sold one while he was alive. And a lot of times we have to take into consideration what's also – success also comes in our legacy. What are we – as much as we're doing in this world, what are we also leaving behind? And I want people to broaden their definition of success. It doesn't have to be about a dollar amount. Yes. I have a buddy of mine named Matt Monero. He wrote a really incredible book called You Need More Money. And he believes that the average – human being living in this world in a first world country needs to be making 150,000 US American dollars to really have a beginning of a successful life. And it goes extra mental from there. But if you look at the numbers and you look at what life is going to cost you and medical insurance if it's not covered and school and books and whatever it is, just your things that you have to have, not the new iPhone, not the new iPad, not the new laptop, not the Netflix subscription, right? The things that are necessary for you to live. Food, clothing, health insurance if it's not covered by your country or by your work employer, whatever it may be. It costs you money to live and life is expensive. The average median income in South Florida is $36,000. If you want to live in a relatively safe community, you're going to be spending on average $1,500 to $2,000 a month. Wow. To live in a safer community here. So you're talking about at the high end, entry level, right? That's $2,000 a month times 10 is 20 grand times another two. So you're talking about $24,000 a year just to live in a relatively safe neighborhood in South Florida. And that's entry level, you know? So people have to be making $60,000-$70,000 with food and life and whatever else, maybe $50,000, and we say the average median income is $34,000-$36,000. So the average person is living in a place that might be either substandard to health and safety, or they're spending their money in places that they shouldn't. So to redefine what success is really knowing what your priorities are, knowing what you need, knowing what you don't need. I have friends of mine who are multimillionaires and they run successful businesses and they don't have an expensive car. They have a Toyota or they have a pickup truck or they have, right? They're not getting the Lambos and the Ferraris and the sports cars because they know that that's a decreasing, you know, the second you drive it off the lot, you're losing money. It's a depreciating asset. And they know that only the things that you should have is appreciating assets and passive income. And a car isn't either of those. So we have to be very careful with what we define as a success. Do I have a number in my mind? For me, yes. I have a number in my mind that if someone says, Jason, we want to buy you out, we want to bring you into our company, and we want you to work for us full time, I have a number of what that would be for me to shut down my business. At least, you know, for me to be here during the day and not see clients, at, you know, and still see clients at night or whatever. But I have a number, and that's a very big number.
Sure. What have you learned from business as a whole?
I truly believe, from the bottom of my heart, as I've been doing this journey for the last couple of years, that if done right, and if you really do embrace the approaches and philosophies of entrepreneurship, that it can be an incredibly therapeutic modality. So what I mean by that is, this is what I work with my clients on for coaching, my business and entrepreneur clients and even my therapy clients. I have them all walk through this same process. And I call it a lifestyle by design. And here are the steps that are involved in that. And it's a 6-step process. Number one, what are your core values? For each aspect of your life, I want you to define a list of 4 to 6 core values so that when something comes up about that category, you can say it's either a yes or a no based on that list of core values, so you know you can be in your authenticity, right? So for your relationships, what are your core values about what you're looking for in a relationship? For your business associates, what are the core values that they have to have in order for them to be hired? For the brand of your business as a whole, what's the core values, right? So for example, my practice is an integrative, natural, and alternative medicine-based approach to therapy and coaching. So if an associate who is interviewing for a job walks in with a soda, there's going to be no interview. And it's very crystal clear. That doesn't represent the brand of my business. If they walk in with a Starbucks coffee or a Powerade, I'm going to be more likely to be like, oh, listen, you know, it's fine. But if they walk in with a soda, It's something that I don't believe that a human being should be drinking, and it's certainly something that I don't think my clients should be leveraging and using for their well-being, both their mental and their physical health. So how am I going to hire someone who walks in drinking a soda? So that's
trying to be like Ford, how he said if he was sitting on the table and he started adding salt in the food before he tested it, he will not hire you? Is that your mantra too?
Right, exactly. Because what's that indicating? We're concerned that what we're giving you isn't good enough because we don't know how you want it. And in fact, I would actually say the opposite. I have a very clear line in the sand. I want people to auto-select whether they want to work with me or not. And that takes a lot of effort out of my game. So I'm very crystal clear on my website. And I say, if you are calling around looking for the most affordable therapist, I'm not it. However, if you're looking to go all in on yourself, if you're tired of struggling and you're frustrated going from therapist to therapist or resource to resource, goal to goal, and you're not getting anywhere, and you're ready, willing, and able to commit to yourself, commit to your family, commit to your business, commit to your health on a long-term basis, drop me an email or call my office. So anybody who's short of that is not going to call me. And therefore, now I don't have to take a phone call and go through the same things on a phone and waste my time because it's self-selecting. I made a line in the sand, and it would be really incredible if all these places out there, these businesses out there, did the same thing and they really focused on their niche. So it's kind of like going to a pizza place and like all of a sudden they decide like our sales aren't so great. We're a pizza Italian place, so we're going to add sushi to our menu so we can get more people. No, you're an Italian restaurant. You don't add sushi to your menu, right? But that's what people do in all aspects of their life. So step one is, right, what are your core values? And your core values help you identify your brand and what you're putting out to the world. But it also helps you make decisions easier. It's either a yes or no. It's not an emotional thing. It's not a guilt thing. It's not I feel obligated. It's either it aligns with my core values or it doesn't. And your core values are allowed to be different than mine. It just means whether if they're similar, we'll partner. And if they're not similar, we're not going to be in a partnership. So that's step one, right, is core values. Step two is you have five fingers. So I keep it really simple. For every finger you have, I want you to pick one priority that you have in your life. And it can be your health, your family, your spirituality, your relationship, your personal growth, financial. It could be a hobby, right? But five fingers, five priorities. Whatever you pick those five priorities to be, you cannot do anything else until those five priorities are running clearly and efficiently. So don't tell me that you have time for 12 hours a week of Netflix when you're not making the money and you're afraid that you're not going to be able to pay your bills this week. Your priorities are out of whack. Don't tell me that your priorities are running a podcast when you are afraid of taking a test to get the next thing of your licensure or whatever you need to run your business. And you're saying, well, I want to be distracted by running a podcast. Like I had that conversation with a client, right? That means that and I asked them, how clear are you on your five priorities? And they say, I'm not. I'm like, okay, that's where we have to go back to. So that would be step two. And it could be anything you want, right? Again, it could be your health, your family, your spirituality, your financial, your personal development, your running. It could be, I don't care what it is, but you get to decide what are the five things that if I followed you around on a daily basis with as a documentary person that I would only see you be doing. And then everything becomes clear. So the next step after that is what are your goals on each one of those categories? What's your annual goal? What do you want to achieve? So for me, I just ran a half marathon last Sunday. And that was a goal to start off January 2020. So now that the thing is, now what's next for me in my health? Right? So I have a set of goals for the year. From each of those goals, I break it down into tasks. And I put a task with a time frame. Who is going to help me do it? And then I put that on my calendar. So right, that's the part where the goals become objectives, the who, the when, and the how, and what's the end date it's going to be completed. That's what turns into the action steps, right? The breakdown of that.
When you complete your goal, do you celebrate? Like now you run the marathon. What did you do after that? Did you celebrate?
So number one, like it was a really early run. I came back home. I showered. I passed out on my couch with bags of ice on my legs to ice down. And that night I went out for dinner with my it was my brother's birthday Sunday. So we had a family dinner and we were able to not only celebrate my brother's birthday, but it was like, wow, awesome. Congratulations on your, you know, whatever it was, you know, on your run and whatever. So like for a while, for the last couple of weeks, I've been very, very good with what I've been eating. And I allowed myself to have a drink, an alcoholic drink, which I wasn't having so much up to the race. And I had a little bit more than like I typically would have while I was training. And, you know, I'm very, very clean and very clear with how much I drink and how much I don't drink, especially as a therapist working with people who are struggling with their sobriety. But the celebration was the accomplishment of I feel good. I feel content. I did this. I aimed for something. I stuck to it. I worked hard. I sacrificed some social events for it, and it was worth it.
Wow, you nailed it. Thank you. Let's talk about your business. Tell us more about it and how we can connect you, how we can work with you, and the people you want to work with.
Sure. So that really just rounds out the last part, which I didn't get to, which is step six, which is accountability. Part of my responsibility as a therapist and a coach is to only work with people who are willing to be held accountable on those first other five steps, right? The goals, the priorities, the objectives, the action steps, and then move that into accountability. So as a therapist, as a coach, I work with people in my practice here in South Florida. I work with people as a coach all over the world. I have a client in Anchorage, Alaska. I have a client in Israel, in the Middle East. I've worked with people in the UK, and I do everything digitally through that. And I want to be clear that therapy and coaching are very, very, very different. Every therapist can be a coach. And please know out there that people who are coaching, you really do want to know what their training and certification and their experiences are, because there are coaches out there who say they do everything when they've actually never done it themselves. And I joke with people that the requirements to become a coach is to, wherever they are right now, if they're sitting down right now, is to slide over an inch on their chair, whether they move an inch to the left or an inch to the right, and all of a sudden, you're a coach. So that's the bare minimum qualifications for most people out there to become coaches who call themselves coaches. So know what you're getting involved with and who you're working with, what their background is, what their expertise is, who have they worked with. You don't have to, you know, in that problem area that you want to solve, but you want to work with someone who is specific in your expertise, the area that you want to solve a problem in. They can't be a jack of all trades. And your best bet is to find that person who's doing exactly what you need to solve as that problem. So for those people who want to reach out to me and have any questions, my website is www.emotionalallergies.com. That'll bring you to my practice website. I have my podcast called You Winning Life, and that's available on all major platforms. And Instagram, which I'm using very frequently, and you can send me messages on that, is Jason Wasser, WASSERLMFT, which stands for Licensed Marriage and Family Therapist. So it's all one word, Jason Wasser, LMFT. And if anybody of your listeners on your show is curious and interested about doing any coaching on their life, on their business, regarding any of these things that we talked about, I'm more than happy to set up a free complimentary consult as long as they mention you and your show specifically.
Thank you so much for sharing. Wow, thank you. So, Glenn, there will be more from Jason in a moment. If you are listening on one of the many podcasting platforms rather than my website and you are encouraged by Jason's journey, go to onlinesuccessjourney.com for a bonus portion of the interview. The Online Success Journey is a wonderful membership community built for people searching for the path to success. We are one big clan and you can be part of this community for free. Once you have joined the clan, click on part two of Jason's journey or over 200 plus other journeys that are available and learn how you can find the right path for your own online success journey. That's a wrap, Clan. Remember, success is a journey. Patience and Jason.
This is not the end of the journey. We hope you've enjoyed listening to part one and want to be sure you know there is a second part to this and every journey podcast at onlinesuccessjourney.com. Filled with even more success tips, uplifting stories, and even a bit of fun, there are dozens of episodes only available to the members of the Online Success Journey Clan. Check out the website and click on Join the Clan for more information. Patience would like to thank you for listening to this podcast, and she has a free audio gift for you at her website. Go to onlinesuccessjourney.com for instant access to this gift. Of course, you know that listening to the journeys of others helps each of us chart our own path, so make sure you're subscribed to be notified as each new interview is posted. There are so many ways to stay connected to the Online Success Journey and to listen in, and if you're enjoying the podcast, we appreciate your help in telling others. One of the best ways to share the benefit you get is to rate and review it at Stitcher and other sites by clicking the stars or completing the ratings form, by clicking thumbs up and leaving a comment on YouTube, or liking and sharing the podcast on social media. To review the podcast within iTunes, simply open iTunes to the podcast, click on Ratings and Reviews, then write a review. On behalf of patients, and until next time, thanks once more for listening. It is our hope that this podcast will guide you on your own online success journey.